Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz clarinetist Glenn Dixon on the 2022 CD, Wider Than the Sky. He opens up about his first solo album that is lush and otherworldly. He also talks about COVID life and the future and a little bit more. Enjoy.
At any rate, it's been great to catch back up with you and talk to you about Wider Than the Sky. So thanks for taking a minute out. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
You bet. So I guess first and foremost, as we've kind of touched on COVID, like how did you survive this time where all live shows fell off and everybody was kind of in shock for about 2 years?
The interesting thing for me was that I had already started this particular project before COVID. I had started doing these solo shows and, you know, thinking about this whole project. And then COVID hit. And I realized this was the perfect thing for me to just to keep me going, really. I did a live stream pretty much every week for over a year, just doing this project live. It kept me going, and it also taught me a lot, you know, because playing something live is... you know, it's a very vulnerable thing, and but it also forces you to really create and get your ideas together and sort of coalesce all the technical aspects as well. So it was really this project in a way that even though I had started it before and was planning to do this, the pandemic sort of came by at a time that actually helped the project, I would say.
So I guess that's my question, you know, listening to this, there is a definite sense that the pandemic did influence some of the sound. It just has that feeling to it. And I, just because I've heard so many discs come through the mail, what was your approach to this? What did you really ultimately want to get across artistically?
Over that time of playing it live, I was developing ideas and approaches, just musical approaches. So I, you know, as time came on, I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to record this because I have a lot of ideas to present and feelings, you know. To me, it's an emotional thing too. I just went into, because I've been doing it so long and it's all improvised, so I just went into the studio for a couple of days and just played and then pulled out the pieces that worked the best because I sort of play, when I played live, I would just play straight for an hour with nonstop, but for the studio, I sort of would do more, broke it up into pieces, and like this idea I would play out and then that idea I would play out and broke it up into pieces. So I forgot your question initially, but that's sort of how it all worked out for me, you know. I did it for so long every week that it sort of developed, I developed a vocabulary and a bunch of ideas. So when I got into the studio, I just did it, and it wasn't really, I could have almost released anything I did because there was a lot of, I just probably recorded 2 hours worth of stuff and pulled out 45 minutes of it, you know, 50 minutes of it. So it was very natural and free-flowing.
So what are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this album?
Well, you know, I hope... my personal hope is that people don't just hear it as another ambient album, or because, you know, it has that quality to it, because to me there's a lot more, it does have that quality where that's very relaxing and that's sort of inherent to the process, but I also feel like there's a lot of musical stuff going on between thematic development and you know, just musical approaches that I take. I like to say it's ambient, but it's not vapid or empty, you know. I think there's music there to be appreciated if you listen. So that's what I hopefully people will realize that and take it as more of a piece of music than just like wallpaper.
You know, I think the interesting thing about what happened, not only with the artistic community of jazz, but in general, but there were so many changes that happened, but more specifically with jazz, what did you learn or realize, not only about yourself, but the community of jazz musicians that maybe you didn't realize before the pandemic happened?
Let's see. That's interesting. People were, you know, because jazz is such a live, oriented music, it does, you know, it exists with an audience and it exists in real time rather than in a room alone writing things down on a piece of paper or practicing, you know, like in the case of a classical piece, something over and over until you to get it right. So it's a very social music in that way. And so this was a very difficult time. But I mean, a lot of the musicians I know did their best to keep getting together and playing together to keep that sort of social thing going along, which I think was good. And but it also gave everybody a time to think, I think, which was probably also a good thing, and sort of reconsider what they're doing in the context of sort of this new world. So, you know, like any traumatic experience, it had its good aspects and bad aspects.
That is for sure. So, you know, as we are kind of getting back to it, live music's picking back up. What do you hope we all realize about the power of live music?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hope that, I mean, because people have been watching things on the, you know, live streams and all that, and it's just not the same. So hopefully the experience will be that much more powerful when they come back and they realize the power of live music and, you know, just being in a room where this creativity is taking place, and the way it hits you is different. So let's hope that that's what happens, and that there's a sort of a resurgence of live music. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of places, performance places, went under during the same time. So especially the smaller venues, at least in Boston where I am, they're opening up bigger venues, but the small venues where jazz tends to happen, you know, were hit pretty hard. So let's hope we can bring that back as things move along here.
So for anybody that wants to pick up the album, find out about live shows, anything that's going on with you, where's the best place for them to go?
Well, my album's available on Bandcamp and all the live streaming platforms, so they can stream it, Spotify or YouTube or wherever, Apple. And I have a website, glendixonmusic.com. Two N's on Glenn and Dixon, D-I-C-K-S-O-N, glendixonmusic, all one word, .com. And you can find out more about me, and I'm starting to work on getting some live performances going again, so see what happens here.
Beautiful, Glenn, man, it was great to catch up with you. Hopefully we catch up again as times hopefully get better, and good luck with the album and the return to the stage. I really appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Glenn for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit Neon Jazz at YouTube, and go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com for everything Neon Jazz. And then if you want a little more, joedomino.com, and there you can kick in via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.